tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers, and welcome to the after show for The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Tonight, we'll be discussing everything surrounding episode 9 of season 5. I'm your host, Grant Rutter, and tonight with me for a fun show, we have
Megan Stecker
and Fern Ronay.
And we're listening to music from Beverly Hills Cop. We're setting the scene.
We say it's from Revenge of the Nerds, but...
But it's from both.
I'm not sure. I haven't seen either, to be honest with you.
Eddie Murphy's heyday.
Yes. True. Well, this show could have been easily said that it was a boring, know-nothing show, but we are going to deliver a good show to you. There's lots to say. We're going to give our two cents on everything that did and didn't happen, and especially what's going to be coming up, because that's really what we have to look forward to. But in the meantime, in between time, let's talk about Brandy and Eddie and their saga of the child support and who can be on the reality show and who can't. It looks like Eddie wants to take some money from Brandy. What do you think? Are we interested anymore in this relationship?
It's so weird because last week she was so awful. And this week I kind of felt bad for her, actually. I didn't think I could ever feel sympathy for her again after the wine incident heard around the world. But I don't know. This episode, I felt a little sorry for her. And the money, it was money he apparently overpaid. And she's like, you know what? He's not paying me anything to begin with. Now I have to give him money back. She just can't win, I feel like.
I feel like this is just page 175 of their constant ongoing battles over money with the divorce. I guess because she started making money, now he's had his lawyers look into everything and say, oh, well, now I've paid you too much because now you make money. Mm-hmm. She sold a book. You know, she's on the show. So it's just another saga. It keeps going on and on and on because she... in the public eye, says terrible things about him and his wife. So they do it back to her in a financial way. And I just think that's what's really going on here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a great point when she brought up that she showed the check for $1,000. I mean, that really is embarrassing. He's got two kids with her. You know what I mean? And he's supposedly a working actor, has a reality show / married to her.
But as a provider,
there's like no excuse for that, even if he wasn't married to her.
Right.
I mean, come on. It's not like he's like broke like a joke. I did not watch the reality show that those two are on, but I'm sure they weren't living out of a one bedroom apartment in the valley. Right. I'm sure they had a nice house.
Exactly. Brandy made a good point. He did the show. He made money from it. He can't claim he made zero this year. Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
Well, here's the interesting thing is that he's saying he's making $0 right now because he currently does not have a job, which is BS because he got paid to do the reality show. And I'm sure his wife is sitting on a pretty chunk of change. And the fact that they're married now, like, wouldn't that be considered... that they're giving Brandy child support? Because Leanne won't stop talking about how these kids are hers too, and that's a big point of contention with Brandy. Mm-hmm. So publicly, Leanne's constantly talking about the kids, and that really infuriates Brandy. If she's so into these stepchildren, shouldn't there not be a problem giving Brandy money to help raise them?
You would think.
Mm. Just saying.
Good point.
Right. So Brandy had a viewing party to see the show. Her gay friends were there. Kim made an appearance. It was like...
on the bed. They weren't in the living room. They were on the bed.
Kim showed up and she was in something. I don't think she had, again, under five. I think she had little to no dialogue.
It was a Mrs. Roper. What do you call it? Moo-moo. She's wearing a Mrs. Roper.
Mrs. Roper.
So they had to watch the show, which then they would cut to the screen, and it was all blurred out. It just did not translate well. We don't know what they saw, what they heard. Apparently, they kept dropping Brandy's name. I don't know if her kids were in it. Now, we have to admit that none of us on this panel actually watched the show. You know,
had no idea it aired.
It was on so briefly last summer, right?
Yeah, I heard of it, and that was about it. I really don't have much of an interest, and apparently a lot of people didn't either because it's not coming back. So if you are one of our listeners or YouTube viewers, comment below and let us know if you watched the show and if it was any good and if they really did bring up Brandy as much as they said she did. Mm-hmm. I assume that it was probably all about Brandy this, Brandy that. And if you were going to produce the show, I would throw as much money at Brandy as possible to at least come on in the season finale and just make an appearance. I mean, you can only talk about someone so much. And let's be honest, if that's the reality of their show, the storyline is her. Why wouldn't you at least like have her make an appearance? How much can you, what interest can you get if talking about somebody and they're not there?
Right. And if the whole point is that like you can't stand this woman, why would you constantly bring her up and bring her up and bring her up? She's like the third character on the show.
I think they hate her so much that they would never throw her a bone and invite her on or give her any money to do anything close to that. But do you think she watched the show of her own volition, or do you think that, because that's masochistic, why would she do that to herself? If I were her friend, I would be like, do not even think about looking at it. But the producer, do you think the producers probably set this up?
I don't know. See, I would want to see it. I would want to see it if it was an ex-spouse of mine and there was a chance my kids were in it. And of course, like, these are two, like, shit talkers. So I kind of, like, want to know for my own, like, you know, namesake, like, what are they really saying about me? Not that you can do anything about it, but I would want to know.
Mm-hmm. You would? What about you?
Oh, I'd have to watch. And especially for the fact that she's so hung up on, I mean, this is emotional suicide, but like, yeah, how could you not? You can't lay in bed all night wondering what happened. Like, just figure it out and know for yourself. But like, she's so mad that her kids' names were brought up a lot. So I'm sure that Leanne was doing something to the effect of like talking about what a great stepmom she was and how much she loves these kids and they're her kids too, which just kills Brandy.
She probably called them her boys a thousand
times.
I'm sure. Dagger to Brandy's heart.
How about when she called Leanne the country music star?
That was
I'm saying country, like country music. I'm not saying the word, just to be very clear.
She separated the syllables a little bit.
Quite clearly.
So that was a Brandyism if I ever heard one. And I thought it was clever. I don't use the word, but I thought it was clever. And hey, I'm sure Brandy said worse. I don't know what's worse than that, but I'm sure she said much worse.
I feel like that's the old Brandy we know and love.
Yeah. So, well, there you go. So, so that was pretty much the big action of the episode. And of course, we're going to get into all the other housewives. Let's just transition right now to Yolanda. She's still beating herself up over this DUI. When I went home for the holidays, I talked to my grandmother about it. And she was like, that woman, she's taking it so personally. She's like really, really beating herself up over it. She won't let it go. Like, it was her daughter's decision. It wasn't hers. So, like, we had a little bit of a chat that will probably be making it into a Grant's Rants episode at some point soon.
But we
both kind of agree. Like, she's taking this just way too far. Like, we've had to hear about it. It's been, like, in the previously on The Real Housewives every week. Like, we know what happened. But, I mean, I'm not downplaying it. It wasn't a smart move, but it wasn't, like, a huge deal either to the show.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think? Do you think she should just kind of, can we let that go now? Can we send that iceberg out?
I feel like they are overplaying it too much for the show because they keep bringing it up. It kind of seems like they just keep replaying the same two sentences over and over maybe that Yolanda said. It's what it seems like. It does seem like she can't believe her daughter did something like this. And I kind of want to be like, 9 out of 10 people could get a DUI in Malibu, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's not good that her daughter had an underage drink and decided to get in the car. But the fact that she just, like, cannot believe this happened, I want to be like, duh.
Yeah.
This happens in L.A. 8 million times a day.
Right.
Not that it's okay or right, but we're beating a dead horse here.
I mean, it would happen several episodes ago at this point. What do you think about the letter that her daughter wrote her?
It was really sweet. It was really heartfelt. Mm-hmm. And she said all the right things that, you know, it was one mistake and you don't have to worry about me. And I think it was a really heartfelt moment. I do think Yolanda's beating herself up about it. And hopefully it's not mentioned going forward because we've processed it and been through the whole story arc. It's done.
Yeah. I felt like they were bringing it to a close when Yolanda said to the camera, like, I think these are my insecurities. Like, I'm worried about leaving her, but I don't think that she can't be alone in New York. I think it's my insecurities.
Right.
So I kind of felt like that we were finally closing out that storyline there.
Right, there was some closure.
Now, Fern, did you ever live in New York City?
I did.
Now, was your apartment like this girl's?
My apartment was just like Bella's, except it was the size of her living room, and I had a... Literally, I lived in a studio apartment on 44th Street for 6 years, and for 6 years, I did not have a full refrigerator. I lived for 6 years with a half, like, mini fridge.
Now, what about a six-range gas stove?
Definitely did not have that, and I will tell you...
Check, she's got it.
I will tell you, Bella, you will never use it. You live in New York City, you will eat out every night.
Yep, yeah. There you go.
I mean, it looked like a great apartment, but it looked for it looked like a big-sized place, even for L.A. standards, never mind New York.
Mm-hmm.
That girl's lucky. She claims that she was going to have a roommate in a previous episode, but it didn't look like she was going to have one in this one.
It didn't.
No, I remember Yolanda saying something about her living alone, and I'm like, she's living alone? Mm. She's 17, and you just dropped her off in New York City in this apartment all alone? I mean, I guess she's going to make a bunch of modeling friends really quick. But.
Yeah.
It looked from the outside shot that it wasn't a doorman building, which was the big thing. You know, you kind of wanted to live in a doorman building because it was safe. So maybe that was just an outside shot that wasn't, you know, they were just using it.
Right.
Hopefully she lives in a doorman building because, yeah, she's 17. It's a little better security. But, yeah, pretty nice place for a 17-year-old.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Even those pillows that, first of all, could you imagine your mom professionally decorating your place out of a – it was so ridiculous. Like, how she kept saying, like, I'm a DIY girl. Obviously, that was meant for a chuckle from us because, like, the woman had professional decorators and movers with her, and she's kind of just directing everything and, like, sits down the professional decorator, and she's like – I think this isn't the right couch we wanted. I think this console over here is just a little too big. We need a petite. And they literally had extra furniture on the moving truck to just, like, swap things out.
Right. Yeah, she was a consultant and a traffic director, right. Pretty much.
Ridiculous. Those, even just the pillows on her bed are over $100 each.
Really?
Yeah, those embroidered. Them? Yeah, those embroidered pillows that one said New York and one said Malibu.
Oh.
They're at Kitson, and they're super expensive because I thought they were adorable, and I wanted to get some. And they're a ridiculous amount of money.
But she's probably going to, let's be honest, get drunk one night and throw up.
Exactly. Oh, use as a throw-up wipe.
Yeah.
Anywho, Yolanda, don't. Earmuffs.
Earmuffs, Yolanda.
The one thing that got me is Yolanda was hoping to take a vacation. I'm like, you've got so much. Didn't you just come back from, like, Saint-Tropez and all those places?
I know.
I mean, you know, it's kind of like, all right, we just watched her kind of, like, point furniture in different directions. Now she's like, I want a vacation. It's like, oh, Lord. Like, you know, I'm like, all right, okay. But maybe that's her truth and that's her reality. That's the lifestyle that she lives. So who knows?
Good for her.
Let's move on to Eileen and her stepsons. I believe they're going, one of them is finishing school. You know, we haven't seen too much from Eileen. I don't know. I think that we need to see a little bit more action for me to really kind of care so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It just kind of fell flat to me. I'm like, good, you know, good for your stepson. And the one thing that did kind of call out to me was how she explained having a relationship with her stepsons and how she wasn't looking to replace their mother, but she had to have a special relationship because there's not that, like, organic chemistry, you know, between the two. So I got that, and that was kind of my feelings towards that whole segment. What did you think?
I liked it. It's definitely filler. It's definitely evergreen footage of her, like, get to know Eileen. So last week was obviously a lot more exciting with her getting wine thrown in her face. But I think it's necessary just to build, because she's so new, and she's not like Lisa Rinna's personality bursting through the door and you love her immediately. It's kind of like she's been more of a shy person. So I think it was necessary for you as a viewer to get more, know her better, get more into her, get invested in her before, as you know what, hits the fan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Eileen is one of the more relatable housewives, especially in regards to being a step parent.
Right. She said some good things about being a stepmom that, right, it's not an organic relationship. You have to build trust and respect. And it was cute seeing her with her two stepsons and the friend. And they were kind of all playing it up for the camera. You pointed it out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was cute to see them laughing and joking with each other. She's probably a cool stepmom. But I was curious why they lived with, this is some research I'm going to have to do, but I'm curious why they lived with them and not the mom. It sounded like they lived with them since they were 8 and 6 or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have to do some research on this.
Well, I have two stepsisters who lived with their dad, like my dad, their dad. So Yeah, I get it when it's like, it seems like a very untraditional pairing, but you never kind of really know.
Right, like, where's the mom? Or maybe they did live with the mom. Maybe the mom lived in Malibu too. Because we know they went to the prom with Gigi.
Yeah. Yeah, they kept bringing them up.
They did grow up in Malibu with them, yeah.
Yeah, that was cute. Well, let's take a break from talking about all these children departing, and let's talk about Lisa Rinna. She went on a film shoot with Penn Jillette. And, of course, those two have a good relationship because they did Celebrity Apprentice together a few seasons back. So it was kind of nice to see them back. They were like an unlikely pairing on the show. Those two definitely worked really well together. So I'm glad that they are maintaining that relationship. It looked like a small, independent something one or other. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it was.
Called Director's Cut. We'll have to look it up.
Yeah. I don't know. Was that a wig Penn Jillette had on, or is that his hair?
Maybe because he always has it in a weird low ponytail. Maybe that's his real hair down. Maybe. Straightened? I don't know.
Maybe he went to Dry Bar. He had a blown out. It's LA.
He has such an interesting mind, that guy. I like watching him and listening to him speak. He's really interesting. I wish we saw more of that, like their relationship, and he had some more screen time. It was very unclear on what they were shooting. All we knew is she was playing herself with her husband, and they were together. Like how they are in real life.
Yeah. And he was playing Harry Hamlin.
Yeah, and she was playing Lisa Rinna.
Which she thought was so weird.
So
bizarre. Yeah, I didn't really get it.
Yeah, me neither. It was just
what
it wasn't
she was
well
trying
executed.
To portray.
Yeah,
but her vocal warm ups in the car had me rolling.
Do you guys do that before the show, before the after show?
Oh, every time.
Oh, come on.
What was she doing? Red leather, yellow leather, red.
Just, yeah, I can't do it where she like vibrates her lips like.
No one can do that but her.
It was funny because she's like, you have to warm these lips up, or you're gonna be tripping over. I was like, that makes sense.
Well, from Lisa Rinna to Lisa Vanderpump, now we'll go talk about her and her son. No, it's going to be an exciting show, Megan. We're going to keep it
so
up.
So bored with her.
Yeah, no, with her and the son that we never see. So basically, he's left music school. Okay, now he had an apartment and he didn't have electricity for 3 months, and she left that up to him. Let's be real. They pay that kid's rent. Maybe they leave some bills up to him to make build responsibility. Maybe the kid has to build some credit. I don't know. But I think he lives in, like, a small apartment, like, maybe, like, Studio City, like, in the Valley, maybe, like, in a good area, but, like, you know, he's not staying in, like, Century City in a loft, you know?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, interesting, I guess. I don't know. I don't really feel too much towards that storyline. Am I missing anything? What did you think?
No. I think, look, it's the classic story of the baby of the family. You give them too much, they take advantage, they're very good at playing on everyone's emotions in the family and getting their way, and now he's to the age where they're like, well, we have to cut off something. Let's make him pay some bills, and he can't get his stuff together. He can't
hack it.
It
sounds like he has a little wanderlust issues. Like, he quit music college, she said, and then he, you know, was doing one thing after the other. He never seemed to find his way, but he also, I think, there's some issues there where he describes himself as lazy. She said his first words were, I can't, which is not a good sign.
No.
So there's definitely more there, but we didn't get to it.
Yeah,
it's just him being, you know, not paying his, doing the smog test and keeping his insurance and registration.
Why would you admit to that on camera?
Right. Well, like, growing up in a family full of ambitious people and there's all one business that they're all involved in, I think it's hard for him to be not like them, because it's not easy for them to say to him, well, go find your passion, because they kind of gave him that time and he just screwed around and didn't do it. So, you know, not coming from a regular middle-class family where you have to find your own way and figure out what you want to do and there's no backup plan, like, you're paying the bills no matter what, I think that's where everything's not connecting for him.
Mm-hmm. See, I think it goes back to him just being adopted into a family with a biological daughter, older sister, and then being in a new dynamic in a family that's been established, and also like the money factor, their socioeconomic status, and just where do I fit into all of this? I can't blame him for being a little lost, but he definitely has all the opportunities at his fingertips.
Right.
I mean, he could pursue anything.
Anything. He just needs to find out what his passion is, and then he doesn't have to worry about money.
Right. Yeah, I mean, his parents are so connected. And he could do anything. He could even do it overseas. I mean, it's like the world is his oyster, you know, especially in this city of Los Angeles. I mean, Lisa's everywhere. Everyone knows who LVP is at this point.
Right.
So
he
could really get hooked up. Yeah. Do we see him on Vanderpump Rules at all?
Yes, just a little bit. He's not a character on there, but he's appeared like two or three different
he's friends like, with little James,
pop-ins.
Right?
Yeah. He's mm-hmm. he's friends with one of the main characters' boyfriends who I don't want to say he's a secondary, but he's definitely not a primary. So
he's not throwing down. Like, he's not in the middle of the circle of no, all this mess.
He's popped in maybe two or three times this year. He's had, like, a line in the midst of everybody.
Oh, a line. So, okay.
Hey, Max right. is moving on up. He got on the show. He got a line about two or three times. He's getting in there. He's weaseling in there. Well, family business.
I groaned when I first saw Kyle having to pull more bags going on yet another trip this season.
We thought she was going on vacation again. We all go, no.
She's getting paid to go on vacation.
I know now where she's going. Where is she going? But she's headed off to Arizona, Tucson, as we saw with her daughter. And that was pretty much the majority of the episode was sending this daughter off to college. There's so much that we can speak to with this, but having gone through it ourselves mostly. But what do we think of Kyle and her reaction? Was it over the top, or was it a mother's love? What do you think? Was it just too much?
I felt it was over the top. I was watching it thinking, like, stop acting like something bad's happened. This is a good thing. And, you know, you can cry tears. You can't help how you feel. But make it a positive. This is a good thing. And they were crying like something tragic happened. It was a little uncomfortable. But then I turned to Megan and... She was emotional.
I don't know what's wrong with me. This is the second time in 2 days harsh. That I had a few tears over a Bravo reality show. Like, that's embarrassing.
And he's doing his job.
But
I think it's sweet.
I think I was starting to feel like we've been set up so much, seeing so many promos of Kyle's crying, and we were like, this is so over the top. Like, she should be very happy that her child actually did decide to go to college. When you didn't, Kyle, mm-hmm. you know, and you have no idea how good it's going to be for her. And da, 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 da. And then in the end, her reaction in the end, I thought was very appropriate. I thought she held it in as much as she could while they did say goodbye and hug the last time and just let herself lose it after she left the room. And it wasn't, I thought she was going to be on the floor like hysterical. And it really wasn't that bad.
No.
I thought it was like, and then she hugged her husband and was like, we need to be happy for her. Let's be happy. All right, let's get it together.
Right, right.
Well, she said about her and Mauricio, she's like, we're sharing the pain together. I'm mm-hmm. like,
oh, that was
on.
Dramatic. I think yeah. I was having emotions of, like, remembering my mom leaving me and thinking, like, oh, my God, I can't believe they left me. I'm never, you know, what am I going to do? It lasted all of 10 minutes. But, like, remembering my mom crying and remembering me being like, what do I do? Oh, my God. And I think I, like, got caught up and was like...
Yeah. It definitely made me remember my experience with, like, my father rented this van. And I'm, like, not into that. But, and they you know, dropped me up in front of my door after we finished the whole orientation and all that. And then it was, like, time to go. So, like, they pulled up in the van and it was just, like, one of those, like, soap opera moments or, like, TV moments, you know, where it's, like, okay, you see that, like, they make a turn and you don't see the car anymore. And you're kind of like... Okay,
no,
I know
do
I don't know a soul in California at this point because I went to school in Orange County, but I had transferred there, which with these chicks, and on this show, it seems like they're all starting off going far. Like, I feel like New Yorkers always want to come out to the West Coast for something or, like, go to, like, Arizona, Florida, but then it's a lot of California people who want to start off in New York, like her oldest daughter, Farrah, and then they kind of make their way back. I did the opposite. I actually transferred from my home state out here, and then the rest is history. But then, you know, even when family comes to visit, it's still kind of, you can, you know, when they are off and you're there, you kind of have that moment again, you know, a little bit of a reminder, I feel anyway, like, oh, I'm still doing it. I'm still here, like, independently. But it's a good thing, and it's such a good memory and a good process to go through in a way as an adult, and now's the time to do it.
Right.
So, I mean...
It's like she's still here, she's healthy, she's thriving, she's still on the earth. You don't have to, you know... Mm-hmm. It's okay to feel what you feel, but it's a good thing.
She's not that far either.
Right.
And they have plenty of money. Well, you know, I kind of have to think about, like, oh, God, when am I going to get back there to the East Coast? Like, I have to think about it. But they could just be like, I want to come home this weekend. And Mauricio, who's the biggest real estate agent on the whole state of California.
She doesn't even need to fly commercials.
Yeah, the jet that they used. So, like, you know, it's like, okay, I feel bad for you, but only so far.
Only so much.
And there's so much more technology that we can all utilize nowadays, which we do.
Right.
So it's like, you know, and not only that, I feel like when you go to college, you have so many breaks to be able to come home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially not even being that far, they can come visit you. You can go there. I mean, let's be honest, there's probably a trip planned at the end of the month for one of Kyle's parties she's going to have.
Right, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
I think I was having a problem with Kyle's dramatics of thinking that, like, her daughter wasn't prepared to be left. And it's like, well, A, that's your fault. And B, you're giving your child no credit. She's 18 years old now. I'm pretty sure she can figure this stuff out on her own. And she doesn't have to feel sad about it. She can feel very proud of herself that, like, she figured out where the laundromat was and did her own laundry. And, like, oh, I made a friend today and we went to the dining hall together and I figured out where the student union was. Like, these are all things that are good for her and exciting. It's not like, I'm leaving my baby in New York City all alone. Like, no. She's at a super safe, ridiculously nice college campus. Calm down.
And it seems like she adjusted. She fit right in right away. She was, lost her voice within days from sorority rush.
How long did they stay that she was already rushing a sorority while they were still there? Is what I'm like, I just remember my parents came for a few hours. We dropped off all my junk in the room. And they said goodbye, gave me a pat the on same the butt. Day. And they, you know, it's like, bye.
Yeah.
3 hours later, bye.
Yeah. She'll be fine. If you join a sorority,
you're fine.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Not worried for her.
No.
So, yeah.
I'm sure everybody wanted her to because she's the daughter of a Bravo celebrity.
Right.
Like, everyone's trying to rush her.
Right.
So other than Kim and Brandy, none of the other housewives really had an overlap or shared scenes. And then, Megan, you mentioned an interesting point. You seem to think this was like a reset, this whole season in general.
Mm-hmm.
So let's chat about that a little bit, since it's kind of like, you know, we had a one commenter last week who thought it was like such a boring season, and other people are really into it. Now, this episode was definitely not the most exciting, but we're building, rebuilding this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my perspective. I think that they're just like starting from scratch again because it was such a potentially great franchise, and now we need to rebuild it back up, but it's a little slow. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, I mean, we were all looking at each other saying, like, God, nothing's happening. And it hit me. I'm like, this is Orange County season one all over again.
Yeah.
Remember when everyone, like, they had definite relationships with each other, and they were neighbors, and they were friends, and they all really hung out together, and we saw their real lives before everything got crazy. We saw their real lives, and all their kids were the same age, and they were all in it. The kids were all in it and had their own storylines. And it's just one of those rebuild. They're doing such a good job. The show got so far flung with, like, Brandy, it's like, how did she even get here? She's so crazy white trash. And then there's Lisa Vanderpump, on the other hand, who's like, thinks she's a part of the British royal family and so ridiculous with her, like, produced lines that she's saying to the camera. And it's so nice, so refreshing to have Lisa Rinna and Eileen come on, and we're being so heavily introduced to them through seeing all this everyday life stuff. And it seems like a slow episode and it seems a little boring, but I'm more than happy to have some relaxing episodes that I don't feel anxious watching. There's no, like, throwing the wine in the face this week. It's like, we're just getting to know them and really like them before everything goes wrong.
Do you think also that maybe not that much happened over the course of filming, that some episodes, you know, it ebbs and flows. Some episodes are high action, some
I mean, it's like Kyle's really not offering anything. She literally asked them to tag along on her summer vacations to have anything for her to do. And Kim's not there.
Not
Kim's,
even on the show.
Kim's an under five, as we keep saying. So it's like, there's not a ton going on. And I mean, I think Brandy and Lisa are so tired of each other, but they're being forced to keep their feud going for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, from a production standpoint, I think the well-produced show really does have a good balance to it with both character building and then turning up the heat when it needs to be there, as opposed to another show that's just on, like, all the time. Like, have you ever watched Mob Wives? Now, that's a show that's on all the time. No, I really enjoy it. But, I mean, it's like, that's just totally, totally different. Oh, Big Ange, are you referencing?
Big Ange. With Big the trollops.
But that's a totally different, I mean, that we can't, that, those are two, like, cousins, basically, of, like, one of the two franchises. But it's just, like, I don't know, to me, it was, it's just very well produced to see a mix. You know, I love, you know, the more shade, the better, but, you know, it's okay to, like, take a break, because last season was just so produced, and just way too much with, like, they were, that was, like, nothing going on but them making it seem like everything was going on, and there was no substance, so, you know, it's, overall, it's a good thing.
Right.
Let's transition to some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Fern, I understand you and I were watching the Today Show this morning.
And Miss Lisa Rinna was on, and she was asked why she would even sign up for the Housewives. And she said that she was looking for something risky, outrageous, and that she put it out into the universe and it came back to her, which I believe in that too, Lisa, which is why you should come on the show.
Oh, definitely.
Lisa. Ring, hello.
My fellow spiritualista. Yeah.
Yes.
And then I liked too that she said, well, didn't she say that her husband said, if you do Real Housewives, do not engage in social media. That's my one rule. Mm-hmm. And she said it's been difficult. And we know she has engaged in social media because she responded to me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Right? You thought of me.
Yeah,
when she
exactly.
Said that, right?
I did. Yes. So I was like, so someone's not listening to her husband because she was talking with Fern last week. And then speaking of Lisa, they mentioned this funny BuzzFeed article that she was in. It was all about like why we love Lisa Rinna and some really funny gifts and stuff.
I
tweeted it out earlier this afternoon. I believe it's the first thing on my timeline. So if you want to check that out, it was a funny article. Just scroll through at work. So nothing
rant
too crazy.
Underscore rants.
You got it. All right. Let's move on to predictions.
And now you're after Buzz TV predictions.
So the Kim-Lisa Rinna feud is about to begin.
About to explode.
And I'm not hoping, but it looks like Kim, Miss Kim, is about to unfurl. Like, you know, like she's about to just...
It's a polite way to put it.
Off the wagon.
Off, Kim's off the wagon. I got sad when I saw it, and Greg goes, oh, thank God. Something's happening to thank God.
I did say, I'll admit, I did say thank God. I was like, okay. Because I love crazy.
What other storyline does she have?
Let's be real. Everyone who, there are very few people that actually like watch for Kim, but the people who do love to see her get messy. I know it's, now look, I know that it's a disease and all this stuff. I mean, and maybe, you know, we have to remember that this is a produced show, mm-hmm. so we don't really know what we're seeing, but I like crazy Kim, however I can get her. Mm-hmm. And if she's a little off her rocker, good. I hope that she does remain sober. We dealt with this last season too, where we thought that she was off, you know. So who really knows? But I do like Kim when she has an attitude and a big cigar in her hand.
And we know that someone pushes Kyle, Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait for that.
Good. So here's the thing is that it got me nervous right away when she was calling Lisa Rinna a bitch for no reason in the car. I was like, whoa.
And Lisa was handling it really well. I can't wait to see the whole thing play out.
Well, I immediately said, oh my God, Kim's off the wagon. Mm-hmm. And then it went to like Kim drunk at dinner with a cigar and Kyle's like, I know Kim and she's not herself right now. And then we see the big shove and push with Kyle and Brady. So I'm dying to know how all that goes down, but it seems like it's not easy. I mean, it's not hard to set Brandy off these days. It's pretty easy. And she's crazy. I mean, she's throwing wine in people's faces for no reason, pushing people downstairs. It's going to be good.
Well, you know, last week on Watch What Happens Live, she talked about all the medication that she was on. She's on quite a cocktail of pills, as well as, like, she mentioned, like, Lexapro or whatever. But she claims that she takes the pills in the morning, but she drinks at night. And so, like, so you drink with pills. She goes, no, I take them in the morning, I just drink at night. And they're like, no, but you are mixing alcohol and pills. You do realize that, right? So we referenced that allegedly maybe this girl was on pills, and now she's made it not alleged. And we now know that that is a cocktail that spells for disaster, but the producers must love it.
How is she even going to say that on national TV when she's, like, worried about these kids?
Right, exactly.
It's like, if you, why would you want anyone to know that? Eddie's going to come after you for custody.
She's a 21-year-old girl trapped in a 40-something-year-old body.
Who's responsible for two minor children who live with her, and she's taking pills in the morning and drinking at night.
Yeah.
That's safe.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah.
Man. But it's good for our entertainment.
Let's be honest. Any other predictions, final thoughts?
I don't know.
I wonder if the shove between Brandy and Kyle is what finally sets them apart. Because we know, you know, they've been pretty friendly so far this season. But we know it ends badly.
I mean, it has to be that.
They have been talking about each other.
And is this the scene we saw from the beginning of the season for the whole extended promo where somebody throws wine? Is this where Lisa Rinna gets tangled up in this?
I don't believe so. That looks
don't talk about my husband.
Because we still have Lisa Rinna doing that, throwing the glass and Brandy slapping Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah, both looked like they took
so much
place
to look forward
restaurant.
To.
Yeah,
Brady is involved in all of this.
Yeah, well,
yes.
I know. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Stir in the pot.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in the preview for this season, did we see Brandy push Kyle down the steps?
I don't know.
That was like the first time I saw it.
You know what we did see in the beginning of the season was Kyle screaming at Kim, like, you don't ever take responsibility for your actions. So I think this is involved with Brandy pushing Kyle next week. That after that happens, Kyle screams at her.
Yeah.
And Lisa Rinna, she just was like walking through her house like, what the hell is going on in the front of my house right now?
This is weird. Like, weird high school. And I don't like it. I can't get over Eileen saying that. Like, girl, what the hell did you think you were signing up for?
I know. Imagine, what's she going to do when there's a glass thrown, like a full glass this time, and someone's getting pushed down a step? What is she going to do? How is she going to react to that?
She's going to burst into tears again.
Oh, Lord. Well, I hope
that. That was uncomfortable.
I hope that she learns the housewife way of just watch it, observe it, and then talk about it for the next 6 weeks.
Exactly.
There you go. All right, ladies, where can we find you in the world of social media?
I am on Twitter and Instagram at Megan Stecker.
I am on Twitter and Facebook at Fern Ronay.
And you can find me on Twitter at what, Megan? Where can you find me?
At Grants _ Rants. No apostrophe.
You got it. All right, after Buzzles, that'll do it for us for The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.